Okay, well, nice to see you. I was in South Sudan about 2 or 3 years ago. I was in Malakal and Juba. We were there baptizing people in the River Nile and other places. So I want to talk specifically to you this evening about your country in Bible prophecy. Now, you don't read about Sudan in Bible prophecy, in the Bible, but you do read the word Kush. Now, you know, the Bible was written not in English, not in Dinka, not in Bor, not in Arabic. It was written, the Old Testament, mainly in Hebrew. And we're reading through a translation. So you do come across this word Kush in the Hebrew Bible, and sometimes it's translated Ethiopia. But that's not a good translation. Now, I want to talk a little bit about a prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38. I put it up there. Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. So there's going to be a charismatic individual who's called Gog, who is the subject of a prophecy about what's going to happen in the last days. And this person is going to be the leader of Meshach and Tubal. And God says, verse 4, I will put hooks into your jaws and will bring you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all kinds of armor. Persia, Ethiopia, this is what the English translation says, and Libya with them, all of them with all kinds of armor, Gomer, the house of Tagama, the uttermost parts of the north, etc. Many peoples. Now, the prophecy goes on to say that they're going to invade the land of Israel when the land of Israel has been restored and there's a nation there, and then God is going to actively intervene and destroy that invasion and save his people, Israel. Now, there was no nation of Israel until 1948. In recent times, there was no nation to invade. So this whole prophecy has been a bit of a headache to understand for a long time, for over 2,000 years. Then Israel became a nation in 1948, and now there is an Israel to invade. And when you look at these nations that are described as gathering together to invade Israel in the last days, actually, if you go through Ezekiel 38, it's really just going round the compass from north all the way round to the east, to the south, to the west, and then back up to the north. The nations around Israel, basically, are going to gather together and invade Israel. And if you try and sort out where these various nations are today, you'll find that they are all the Muslim enemies of Israel. But we're here to talk about Kush, or as I'm suggesting it should be translated, Sudan. Now, when you read about Ethiopia there in many English Bibles, what does this mean? If that's correct translation, isn't it a bit odd that the nation of Ethiopia would join in with a bunch of hardcore radical Islamist nations to attack Israel? Sounds a bit odd, because Ethiopia is a very Christian, or in inverted commas, but Christian nation. And is it really so that there would be this group of Muslim nations surrounding Israel who attack her in the last days, led by some charismatic organization, and for some reason one Christian nation, that is Ethiopia, joined in? It doesn't quite make sense. Once you understand that the translation Ethiopia isn't really a good one. This Hebrew word Kush does not mean the Ethiopia that we know. It refers to the area of what would now be called North Sudan. And therefore, what we're expecting is that what is now known as North Sudan, that is Kush in the Bible, is going to join in with these hardcore radical Muslim enemies of Israel. And that makes perfect sense, because you here from South Sudan will have experienced jihad against yourselves as Christians from Muslim Sudan, North Sudan. You've experienced this. And so I would say that until South Sudan separated from Northern Sudan, this prophecy was rather difficult to understand how it would come true, because there we were looking at the Bible text and it says that Kush, and you think, well, what's Kush? Okay, it's not Ethiopia, it's Sudan, the territory, what is now Sudan. It's going to invade Israel, but wait a minute, half of those guys are Christian. You know, you folks in South Sudan. And so it was required, I think, that Sudan, as it was, split into Muslim and Christian, so that this prophecy could then realistically come to its fulfillment. So when you read in the Hebrew Bible of Kush, I suggest this refers to Sudan, as in northern Sudan, not Ethiopia. Ezekiel 29, verses 9 and 10, talk about Kush as being the area south of Egypt. God prophesies the land of Egypt shall be a desolation and a waste, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. I will, at the end of the section, I will make the land of Egypt an utter waste and desolation from the Tower of Sinai even to the border of Cush, that is from the north of Egypt to the south. So then Cush joins on to Egypt at the south of Egypt. And that's not the Ethiopia that we know, that is northern Sudan. So Tiharca, king of Cush, fought against Assyria. You might remember when the Assyrians invaded Judah, they heard that, oh, the king of Cush is coming out against us. And that's recorded there in history. And this Tiharca was the king of Cush from modern-day Sudan, not from the Ethiopia that we know. When the Bible talks about Cush, we're told it's a land famous for her rivers and the land where the rivers divide. Now, in Hebrew, certainly the Bible, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, most of it, there is such a thing as an intensive plural. That is where a plural can be used to mean one very great thing. Like we read about the bloods of Messiah. When you can have blood in the plural, it means the great blood, that is, of Messiah. And so, what land is it where the great river divides? Well, I would suggest that is Sudan, because it is in, by Sudan, I mean northern Sudan, it is in northern Sudan that the blue and the white Nile, the great river, divide. See Isaiah 18, about the punishment of Cush, the land of the rustling of wings, which is upon the rivers of Cush. A nation tall and smooth, a people fearsome from their beginning onward, that is very aggressive. And you all here in Australia as refugees from South Sudan, because the North Sudanese are aggressive, right? So that's what the Bible says about them. A nation that measures out and treads down, but here you are, that's why you're here, because of the truth of this prophecy, whose land is divided by the rivers. Well, as I say, just look on the map, the blue and the white Nile divide in Sudan. So when you read about Cush in the Bible, it's such a sad translation, mistranslation, when it talks about Ethiopia. Now, Cush supported the Babylonians when they attacked Israel, and that's why they're condemned in Jeremiah 46, as you can see on the screen, for doing that. Now, when Babylon attacked Israel, this happened in history, but it was actually looking forward to a future invasion of Israel by Babylon in the last days. And that invasion by this latter-day Babylon, which is basically Iran, Iraq, that invasion is going to be also supported by Cush and Libya and so forth. It's not talking about South Sudan, the Christians. These are all Muslim fanatics who are going to join in. And as I said, that's why when South Sudan seceded from North Sudan, however you want to call it, that actually had to happen to lay the groundwork for this Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Now, you might think I've got something against North Sudan. I don't. It's not racism. I'm talking about what the Bible says. And I'd just like to... I just like to point out a number of verses that say that actually Cush, along with all the enemies of Israel, will eventually repent. Cush will hurry to stretch out her hands to God, Psalm 68. Zephaniah 3, from beyond the rivers of Cush, or the great river of Cush, the Nile, my worshippers will bring my offering. From the rivers of Cush, a present will be brought to Yahweh of armies, and the people tall and smooth. From the land divided by rivers, I suggest that's the blue and the white Nile, to the place of the name of Yahweh of armies in Mount Zion. And oddly enough, as you read through the Old Testament and the New, you keep bumping into people from Cush. This guy from what is called Ethiopia in Acts 8 was going up to Jerusalem, and on his way back, God sent Philip to preach the gospel to him and to baptize him. This bloke was from Cush. And in Jeremiah 38, there was a fellow called Ebed-Melech, who it says was from Cush, who saved the life of Jeremiah. So you get the impression, and there's other examples, that a minority of people from Cush were true believers. And you know, some of the Christians in the world now that one would have the greatest respect for are Christians in North Sudan, because they're, you know, arms cut off, killed, stoned, etc. North Sudan is one of the hardest places to be a Christian. And so it's a minority. It's a minority who from North Sudan who will accept Jesus. So what does this mean? I would say that we cannot say dogmatically, you know, Jesus is coming, you know, next week or next year. All sorts of idiots, have said this and put dates and times and so on. You don't know that. We've got to live as if we expect the Lord's return at any time. But I'm saying that the situation all over the Middle East, all over North Africa, is moving into place as these prophecies require. Libya, look at what happened when Gaddafi was thrown out. What happened? It got taken over by Islamic extremists. And I suggest this is what's going to happen in Egypt. You can see these guys already in the Sinai shooting down Russian aircraft and planning attacks on Israel. And Northern Sudan, Kush, absolutely. These are going to be with the latter day invaders of Israel. It's all coming together. And that prophecy in Ezekiel speaks as if the whole thing is going to be coordinated under some sort of umbrella, just as Cush supported Babylon in attacking Israel historically. And I suggest that possibly, and this is only possible, I suggest that possibly that umbrella, if you like, is the entity known as the Islamic State. I don't know. Maybe that all comes to an end as well. I don't know. But we are living in a situation in this world where the world cannot go on as it now is. It might seem here in Australia that each day comes after the next day and so it shall go on forever. But it will not. And certainly in Europe and the Middle East, that's not the sense at all that day follows day. There's a sense that there is some sort of end, that there is some sort of crisis. And people bury their heads in the sand, but it is all under God's control. Man is not alone. Man is not alone. God is with us, and God has a purpose. And insofar as we are baptized into the Lord Jesus, we can confidently expect his coming. And because we love him, we want him to come soon. And not for us the need to fear whatever is happening to the world. Because it is, in fact, all according to program. Believe it or not, things are actually going very well according to God's program. And it's speeding up as it comes towards the end. That's why I appeal to everyone to accept the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and to not have this as a hobby, but to give ourselves completely to him so that his coming will not be like a thief in the night for us, catching us unawares, but This is what we long for. This is what we want more than anything else in the world. Now, I don't know if you have any questions or anything you'd like to add.
Just one. Did I get it?